Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. No noise mic. I'll let Andrew use it. Hallelujah. I'm a little louder than Andrew, so you might want to put down the volume so these people still love me after I finish preaching. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So if I get loud today, just remember it's the mic. It's not me, okay? Because I'm really soft-spoken, right? Ha, ha, ha. Hello, hello. Amen. Open your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Timothy. I believe this is one of the most important things for us to watch over and to guard is our mouths. The apostle, when he's writing this letter to his student Timothy, he's speaking about things that were taking place in the body of Christ. He isn't talking about the world. He's speaking about the body of Christ. There was gossiping and backbiting and those things that were taking place. And God wants us to know that that is sin. And that sin separates. Okay? But God's love unites. And if you take it and you look at what, for example, what took place on the other side of the mountain just yesterday, it was words. Words that were spoken that caused people to have bad reactions and bad actions to words. You know? And so it's very important for you and I to guard our mouths. Amen? You know, if we really believe that life and death are in the power of the tongue, that we need to be careful of the words that we speak. So look with me in verse number 14. We'll begin there. And we'll see what the Lord wants to say to us through the preaching and teaching of His Word. On verse 14, it says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to shew thyself approved, a workman approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun." Reject, avoid profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of the God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Remember, he's speaking here about the mouth. So let's look at verse 19 for our text today. He said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Today we're going to speak, the title of this morning's message is Speaking Sound Words. We're going to look at to stand on, to seal with, and to secure by. Amen? To stand on, to seal with, and to secure by. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration here today? Repeat after me and say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, for I am listening. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And we're grateful today that you sent it here to accomplish something in each and every heart of each and every one that's gathered together in this place. Not only here, Father God, but to all those that will hear the word as it goes out through the Facebook, it goes out through the internet, Father God, as it travels through this world, Father God, it'll accomplish everything that you sent it to do. So, Father, I say right now, Father God, speak to me, Lord Jesus. May the words that this congregation and the people here come from you and not from me. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So first off, in our text, the Apostle Paul says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. So we're looking at first is what we're standing on. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 11, to stand on. We're standing on a foundation. Verse number 3. The Word of God says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple, and His Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, and His eyelids try the children of men. You know, we know our foundation. Our foundation is Christ Jesus. On Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, so when the things of the world come, we have to remind ourselves of our foundation of who we're in. We're in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation. We're not the old man any longer. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul expounds on this a little bit. And verse number 9. Remember again, when Paul was writing his letter to his student Timothy, the second letter, he was reminding him of what was taking place in the body of Christ, not in the world. He's speaking to the church. The Lord reminds you and I. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry or His farm. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, okay? In other words, we kind of constantly hold on to the foundation. When you say, Pastor, I know that. I know we all know that. But we don't always hold and stand on the truth of the word. You know, it's just like this false report that came that said that the resurrection had already taken place. And somebody were falling away because they said, well, we didn't make it. We didn't make the resurrection. There's people that are standing up in pulpits today that is preaching that the resurrection has already happened. And we're in the thousand millennial reign of Christ now. That's a lie. That's not the truth. Amen. In other words, God said, let God arise and the enemy be scattered. He says, we shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. That's what happens when all of a sudden there's a second guessing and gossiping in the background and murmuring and things that are going on. There's all kinds of things that raise up. Amen? There's so many people that want a ministry that they create things to create a ministry. Amen? The Apostle Paul says also in Ephesians chapter 2, amen? We're standing on the Word of God. We're standing on His Word. Verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19. The Word of God says, Now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, and whom you also are builded in together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. When we gather here today, and we gather into this house, it isn't this building. You are the building. You are the parts. You are the ones that God wants to inhabit. God wants to inhabit the praises and the worship of his people. Amen. And he can't do it unless we put Christ first. Because God gave us an order of things. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto us. Amen. God wants us to know and understand we got the strongest foundation. We got a foundation that can't be cracked. We got a foundation that can't be broken. We have a foundation that will never fall away. His name is Jesus. Not the foundation of this building. A storm could move this building, but nothing in this world can take Jesus away from you and I. Amen. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Amen. I think one of the things happen is when people start whispering and start saying things, we need to hush up and go to the Word. Amen. Because everything is established by the Word of God. And if it doesn't align with the Word, it isn't God. Amen. God ain't going to change his Word. He spoke it. He spoke it so we could become. Amen. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, the apostle says to his student Timothy, he gives him instruction. We're standing on foundation. We're standing on Christ Jesus. He said in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but one thing I've learned, the Word of God says, study to show thyself approved, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as I'm studying the Word of God, if it doesn't align with God's Word, I'm not receiving it. I'm not going to accept it. Amen? I'm not going to let it become a part. I'm not going to let that seed be planted inside my heart, my life. If you're a pastor, if I say something to you that does not align with the Word of God, do not receive it. In other words, that's why we have the Word of God. Everything can be checked. There's checks and balances. Amen? Are you with me? You see, there's so much chatter that's going on in the world right now. And chatter brings up evil and brings in destruction. And God is a God of order. He loves doing things decently. He does them in order. You know, I learned something just in the past couple days. You know, ever learning but never fully coming to the knowledge of truth? You know, I've watched. I was here in the past few days as an observer. Observer. And watch as a protector, just watching and seeing. And the children were really ministered to. The children were really loved on. The children had a blast here. Amen. The children knew that what they needed to do and did what they were called to do. God's raising up a new generation. He's raising up our children. And as parents, you know, we gotta be strong. We need to be steadfast, unmovable. Amen. We gotta set the example for our children. We can't call our children to do something that we're not doing. You know, it's really something because the kids, children, most of the children they play follow the leader. And I watched how certain children influenced other children, and all the children followed the influencer. Amen? And it's so important that we have the right influence on our children. Amen. We have the opportunity to raise them up and to be, to usher in. I believe the children that are standing here right now are the ones that are going to usher in the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, and when I see these little kids ministering and loving on the Lord, I remember reminded of Jesus went into the temple when he was 12 years old and he opened the book and read. Things changed from that point. I remember, you know, the prophet Jeremiah was only like 8 or 9 years old. He was called to go prophesy to nations. Amen. And so, hey, let's not take for granted these kids, these children. These children are being trained up to be the usher in Jesus' return. How many know that the adversary, and this doesn't have anything to do with the message, but the Holy Spirit is speaking. How many know that the adversary wants to destroy this next generation to keep them from ushering the return of Christ? How many know that he's going to do everything he can to try to destroy them? But God said he's given us all the ammunition we need to be successful and to lead these children into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're not looking at the things of the world. We're not battling with people. We're battling with darkness. Amen. Okay. Our battle's with the darkness. So we have to make a decision. We're going to do our best to be an example to them of the love of God. Amen. You with me? With me? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That not only do we stand on this foundation, Christ Jesus, we're standing on the foundation, but also we're sealed by. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I don't know what we would do without the Holy Ghost. Anybody know what you do without the Holy Ghost? Man, so when I'm reading about the Jews, and I read about them, I don't look down my nose at the things that they did because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Like you, you know, it hadn't been given. Amen? They were just setting the foreshadow of what was to come. But he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 21, now he which establisheth us with you is Christ, and have anointed us as God. Look at the one next to you and say, you're anointed. Look back at the other one and tell him, you're anointed. So that means we're anointed. Amen. Now he would establish us with you as Christ, and anoint us as God, and who have sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know, hey, you know, every time that I'm going through something and I go back to my prayer room and I spend time with the Lord, the Father always gives me a picture of something that's coming. Because the Bible says without vision, people perish. So he gives me a picture of something that's coming, some glory that's coming, some good things that are coming, so I can look past the things where I'm at. And that's what God did with you and for you and I. He not only gave us the foundation to stand on, but he sealed us with the Spirit of promise. He gave us a down payment. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of glory in God's kingdom. Has he shown you his glory? Has he revealed his glory to you? Amen. And that's just a down payment of where we're heading and the direction we're going. You know, yeah. Old things shall pass away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. So as we're looking at these things, we're moving forward. We have to keep our eyes fixed upon the prize. Amen. So many times the adversary wants to distract us. He wants to get us off of the direction that God's called us. And look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul expounds on this a little bit. He says in verse number 10, he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven or which are in earth, even in him, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In other words, God wants you and I to understand something. When we pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every time we pray, every time we move, there's a peace of heaven that's been instilled in you and I. The Spirit from heaven is taking residence within you and I. He's living inside you and I. Greater is he that is inside of us than he that is in this world. And we don't have to look far to see what heaven's like, because heaven's already in us. Hallelujah. And has it been manifested on the outside? No, but it's living on the inside, and it's roaring like a lion. Hallelujah. Amen. We serve the Lion of Judah, the bright and morning star, the greatest. Amen. Oh, I already know who wins. We do. Amen. So no matter what the battle looks like, I say, you know, I shared it before. You know, I'm a football fan, and you have to pray for me because I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan. They're not looking too great. But I don't watch the football games because I get irritated when my team doesn't win. So I have that device on my TV where I record it. And after the game is over, I look. And if Philadelphia won, I watched the game. But if Philadelphia didn't win, I'm not going to watch it. And God wants you to hear this. Listen to me. This is what he is saying. We already have a recorded picture of what's going to take place. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We're victors. We're the winners. And all you have to do is you already know what the end is. So when you're faced with that thing, you can look past it. You know, it's just kind of funny when I record the game, Philadelphia's getting beat up, knocked around and whatever, and I start laughing. Why? Because I know who won the game. And the same is with Christ. God wants you to know who you are in Christ Jesus, that you're a winner. And he's given you the Holy Spirit to prove it. Amen. That's the sealed deal. Amen. The Spirit of God is always with us. Hallelujah. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 30. He tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, how do I grieve the Spirit? When I make my circumstance or my situation bigger than my God. You hear me? When I make what the enemy is doing bigger than the God that we serve. And when I do that, what I start doing is I start chattering. He says here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and let's act a little differently. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. Amen? In other words, when somebody does something that really bugs you, take a moment before you react. Hey, don't react so quick. Remember how much the Lord has forgiven us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I didn't deserve to be forgiven. I was forgiven out of God's love. And since God forgave me with his love, that's what I have to do for everyone else. Amen? In other words, as we're doing these things, if we hold on in our heart, we grieve the Spirit of God. When we grieve the Spirit of God, when we go against God's Word. In other words, God wants us to know that the Word becomes. In other words, this has to come off of here, get in here. And as it's in here, the Spirit guides us and directs us. Amen? Amen? In other words, this flesh is just temporary. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little older. I got some wrinkles. I got some decaying. I got some fading. But my inner man is young. It's alive. Hello? This old man, the outward is decaying, but the inward is getting stronger and stronger. Amen? In other words, there's one day I like to run. There's one day I'm going to be running, and I'm running with the Lord. I'm going to run right outside this body, and I'm just going to keep going. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Rather present or absent, I belong to him. How do I know? Because I put my trust in Jesus. That's the ground that I stand on. And he has sealed me with the Spirit of God, which is the promise, which is the down payment. In other words, he purchased me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? I was expensive. It cost him everything. You were expensive. It cost him everything for you. But he loves you so much. You know, I think what God sees from the beginning to the end and everything in between, I think God saw each and every one of us. And he loved us so much. And he just said, man, Father, it's worth it. Hallelujah. So we've got the foundation to stand on. The Spirit is to be sealed with. Hallelujah. And also we have the security to secure by. And we're to secure by the Word of God. We're to secure by the Word, but we have to obey the Word. He gives us instructions in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. He says this, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Now, if I bring back and I think back of the old man, I was a sailor. All right? And my conversation wasn't too enlightening. And the old man, which was corrupt according to deceitful lust, and he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And all, in other words, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. He purchased me, so I'm standing on the foundation of Christ. I'm sealed with the Spirit, and I'm secured by me being obedient to his word. Hey, this is a contract. You know what a contract has? This is a written contract to you and I. And this contract, it involves two parties. Both of them have their sides of the agreement. God keeps his side. He calls you and I to keep our side of this agreement. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 1. The word of God says this. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen? In other words, God's redirected our course. I don't know about you, but I was going through life like this, going like this direction, and I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and I went a total different direction. Amen? We're walking in the newness of life. Amen? Everybody with me here? You know, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, I'm just bringing the Word of God out to get into your hearing. Amen? So faith increases in you. Because I assure you, everyone in the room is going to face something. And God wants you to understand that you will never face it alone if your trust is in Him. He's given us everything we need to be successful. Our success isn't determined by what we do, but by following what He says for us to do. He says, the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord, and he finds delight. I don't know. I like to find delight. How about you? Look at me in Proverbs 4. I'm going to get ready to close this. I say get ready to close it so everybody just lets down their defenses. In closing, the Word of God says, but the path of the just, in verse 18, Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. You know, it was kind of interesting. We were talking about light the past couple days with the children in Bible school. And Jesus says, I am the light. And he that walks with me doesn't walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. You know, God has given us everything we need to be successful. God has purchased everything for us. It's just a matter of us being in a receptive mood. You know, in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7, the Word of God says this. He says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. What the Father wants us to have revelation and understanding is, the blood just doesn't almost do it. The blood completely does it. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. See, Jesus wants you and I to understand that we have the power of life and death are in our mouth. And what the words that we're speaking, and one of the things He wants to get in our heart is, who do we say that we are? In other words, what are you saying about yourself? I know one thing. You know, as a sales director, a project director, I would motivate salespeople. And I would get up every morning, and I would look in the mirror, and I motivated myself. I would encourage myself. I would speak words of life into myself. I was rebelling against God at that time, but everything I was speaking into myself were the proverbial statements of God. In other words, I was speaking the Word and I didn't even know I was speaking the Word. Hello? And God wants you and I to understand that we have a funnel. We have a well inside of us. And we can't speak the things as we're seeing in the natural. We got to speak the things we see in the Spirit. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In other words, we got to allow our flesh to come along beside so we can walk out and be everything that God's called us to be. We've got a sure foundation to stand on. We got the Holy Spirit that we're sealed with. And we got the security that we're secured by. All the promises of God. All the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. The Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians. One last scripture. Probably, maybe. Hallelujah. I'm just reminding this as Paul's ending his letter to the church of Thessalonica. He says in verse 19, he said, quench not the Spirit. In other words, when the Spirit's quickening you, don't put it out. Follow through. Be sensitive. Despise not prophesying. I prophesied over you today. Receive the words of life. The enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to steal your value and your worth. But God says you're of great value. You're of great worth. We speak words of life. There's enough words of death out in the world. Hallelujah. And he says here, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and just abstain from the appearance of evil. So we have the foundation to stand on, the Spirit that we're sealed with, and the Word of God that we're secured by. Can you bow your heads and let us pray? Father, we're so grateful for your Word. We're grateful for sending your Word here to accomplish what you sent it to do. Father, your Word says that when we call on you, Lord, that you will answer us, Lord. Maybe you're here today.